Welcome to Bible Fellowship Church's The Upper Room. Our podcast discusses Sunday messages from Pastor Don, looks at the recent news headlines, and any updates on our congregation and upcoming events. Leading the discussion is our church leadership with invited special guests. We hope you enjoy it and find it informative. To help support our ministry, please consider becoming a subscriber and financial contributor. Links to donate are on our website at bfcforyou.org. Now let's get going. All right, well, this is Scott Kimball, and I'm one of the elders here at Bible Fellowship Church, and joining us today is Dr. Don Trest.
Hey, glad to be here, Scott.
Good morning. And our sound engineer, Andrew Kimball.
I'm back.
He's back. We missed you last week, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just not the same, you know that.
I noticed the downloads for that episode were a lot less, you know.
Right? Yeah, well, and that reminds me that, you know, one of the issues we have now is that we've separated the two podcasts, and so they're not all under BFC for You Reaching the World anymore. BFC for You Reaching the World is now specifically the Sunday messages, and so if you go to that podcast, that's all you're going to see there is the weekly Sunday message. And then we've got the new podcast channel, I guess you could call it, which is BFC for You, The Upper Room. And we moved all of the Upper Room content over to that channel, that podcast.
And,
Feed. There podcast you go. Thank feed. You. Podcast feed. And so now we have all of that content there, and we'll be adding to that content. So if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to that as well.
So that's a separate subscription.
You'll have two subscriptions. So you'll have one for BFC for You Reaching the World and one BFC for You, The Upper Room.
Well, the BFC for You Upper Room, that's the one. If you could only listen to one of those two, that's the one I would recommend. The young folks, you know, the input that they're giving is it's cutting edge. This is, it's real, you know, it's authentic. I'm amazed at how comfortable these folks are just speaking truth, just speaking what's on their heart and mind. I think that's to be commended, and I think that's unusual in some of the circles in which we travel.
Yeah, we've had some good discussions in the past, and I enjoy doing it. I think, though, that in order to get the proper context for what we're talking about, it would be good to go back and listen to the Sunday message, because we spend the first part of our discussion talk going over the Sunday message.
We may need to do something different. We'll see.
So,
it's always adapting.
Right.
Always evolving.
Right. We're always evolving. We're always changing it.
Just subscribe so that you can enjoy that ride with us.
Enjoy the ride with us. Exactly. I like your thinking, Andrew. You're a pretty smart guy.
He really is.
Yeah.
Keep it coming, yeah.
Right? He was raised well.
Nice way to flip it back.
Yeah, right? All right. So, the Sunday message this morning, Pastor Don spoke a little bit more about, I guess we're now calling it 1B instead of going to part two like we had thought we were headed to.
So. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's all right. Part of it is that, you know, there's so much that begins to impact my own heart. So I'm trying to give out the information, and at the same time, I'm wrestling with my own, you know, the way the scripture is impacting me personally. And so as far as organization, as far as staying on task with the sermon of the day, this would not have been one of those in which I accomplished that, at least from my perspective standing up on the pulpit. Sometimes I listen to these things afterwards and I say, well, that actually wasn't
so bad. Yeah.
No, that sounded like I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, it is kind of tough when you are up there in the pulpit, because sometimes, especially when you really get on a roll, you get to the end of it and you kind of think to yourself, man, what did I just say? Or did I really say that? Or, man, I should have said this. And you start second guessing yourself. And yeah, I understand that. It's not an easy thing. You're just speaking from the heart in the moment. And sometimes that comes off really well. Sometimes
I never thought I would say this, though, but I really do. I do appreciate the podcast days better when I was sitting up here in the upper room by myself, because I preached that sermon that came out as a 45-minute sermon, probably about 3 or 4 hours, because I would say it, and I didn't like that. So I could go back over it and redo it, whereas we're live now. What you hear is what you get.
Yeah.
Or what I say is what you get.
So maybe we should put a poll out there and have people say, like, which was better, which they preferred.
Yeah, did you prefer?
Now, you're working to stay home on Sunday mornings. I know.
No, it's all good stuff.
And I too, we've been through, you know, this COVID-19 crisis. And personally, you know, it's been for over the last 12 months, you know, I've completed 32 weeks of that in these PhD biblical language courses, Greek and Hebrew. So those have been pretty intense. And I've been to Ethiopia twice teaching. So there's the prep for that, and also to the Philippines once. So there's been, and then, of course, the podcast, which is probably the most stressful thing of all those things that I had to do. Thank you, Andrew. And But beginning this next week, for over a year now, I will have nothing that I'm really having to get ready for, like a PhD course or like a teaching trip somewhere. Also went to Calvary last year to teach at the Charles Ryrie lecture series. So it's been pretty intense. It's all good stuff, but you know, you're just hanging on for dear life from day to day and week to week to. You know, stay current on things.
Yeah, I would have to say this last year has been kind of crazy. And you know, initially I thought maybe if for our discussion we'd talk about just the fatigue of it all. But then I think after the message this morning, I wanted to kind of take our discussion a little different direction. But
let's do it.
So looking at the message, you started out with a question, basically, that, you know, what was the problem? What was it that God was so upset about? You know, with these folks. And I thought after we had kind of discussed all of the various issues and things that was going on, when you went back to the scripture and actually pointed out what Isaiah himself said as far as the problem really being a lack of justice and the oppression, I thought that was interesting. I guess I hadn't looked at it in that light, and it's pretty timely. I was going to say, one of the things I wanted to say was it seemed like for a little while, and if you haven't listened to the Sunday message yet, you got to go listen to this thing, because I think in about a, I don't know, not even a 10-minute segment in the message, you probably threw in at least a dozen trigger words.
Mm-hmm. I like to stir the pot.
You were stirring the pot big time this morning. So I thought, you know, this whole idea of justice and oppression. And I thought it was good because I think the scripture really kind of brings it into a true context of what justice and oppression really are. Those words get thrown around a lot in society today, and everybody's talking about this kind of justice or that kind of justice or this kind of oppression or that kind of oppression. And I don't think that they're really speaking from a biblical perspective.
True.
They've got their own agenda as to what those words mean. And unfortunately, and this is my own opinion, that I think a lot of time what those words really mean is revenge, mm-hmm. or getting back at, or, mm-hmm. you know, not
making somebody pay for what they've
somebody
done for
pay.
To us.
Yeah, exactly. Retribution, that kind of thing. And I don't think that it's true biblical justice.
Well, true biblical justice is, like it says in the book of Romans, vengeance is mine. I shall repay, says the Lord. Mm-hmm. So there may be retribution owed. There may be some punishment due. But as Christians and as, you know, people that go by way of the scriptures, we don't take that on ourselves. We leave that with the Lord and realize that He's just.
Right.
He's not letting anything go. So the best thing that we can do is just leave that with Him. Nations rise and fall. A lot of it is on this issue we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also thought too that we're given government, right? We're giving this human institution that we're told in Romans that we need to be under authority of. We're blessed that we live in a nation where that those institutions, that authority comes from the people. We elect our representatives; they create the laws, and our founding fathers were were brilliant enough, I guess coming out of the Enlightenment or whatever, that they had this concept or this notion of equality under the law. That, and that really is justice as far as our definition, secular definition in the United States goes, is we believe in a system of equality under the law. The law should treat everybody the same way. And when you get injustice is when that's not working. When the law lets one group get away with something while it targets another group.
And it's usually the privileged or the wealthy or the well-positioned.
Yeah, that hasn't changed from Bible times, has it?
That's just always, unfortunately, it's always going to be. You may change who the what constitutes the privileged class.
Right.
You know, those who have the money or the position. You may change who that is. Unfortunately, you're going to still have the problem.
Typically.
But as Christians, we should recognize that tendency in man and in countries and nations, but also recognize it in ourselves and not be duped.
Right.
You know, there are people that are using the present situation on both sides for their own personal advantage.
Absolutely.
And not to be duped by that. It's still difficult to navigate the issues, and there's, you know, it's a tumultuous situation. And there's all kinds of things that are going on that's hard to figure out. But at the same time, there's some basic principles and issues that are unchanging. And part of that is the darkness and tendency of the human heart to move toward oppression and injustice when dealing with those that are, you know, not part of their group.
Right. Yeah. No, good. So I wanted to come to the next question, which is, you know, were there any specific aha moments or any kind of new to you sort of information that you saw? And since we've got Don here who actually preached the message, we can't ask him that because it's his message. But specifically to you, Andrew, did you see anything, any information you didn't know before? Then you're like, oh, that kind of adds to the...
Kind of on a broader sense, something I was thinking about while you guys were talking was kind of a question, I guess. The whole passage, like you said, there were all these trigger words and there was, you know, it was very relevant to times today. And I was kind of thinking while he was preaching and listening to it that do we see those things in this passage because of what's happening today? Like, do they jump out at us more because it ties into like current events? Or like, I was kind of just pondering that in general, because I noticed like a lot of talking about justice and like societal classes and races and things like that. And it was like, that's all very hot right now and relevant. Would this passage kind of have that same impact if that wasn't the case? I found that interesting and made me kind of think about that as a whole. Do these things jump out because that's what we're dealing with now? Or is if there were separate issues happening in our lives that we needed to deal with, would we get maybe a different spin or a different...
Yeah, that's a good question.
Different things from the passage if we were struggling and dealing with different things. Or will it always, would it always kind of be the same text and just maybe not as impactful?
My take on it is that, yes, you will have different things jump out. It's one of the reasons why as you continue to read Scripture, as you continue to study Scripture, every time you read that same passage, it seems like other things may jump out at you. And it's because you're dealing with different things in your life at that time. And maybe, you know, at some point you're not dealing with something and you may gloss over a section of Scripture that doesn't seem to speak to you at the moment. But a year or two from now, you may reread that same passage and go, oh, I didn't see that last time.
Right.
Because it's something that's poignant right now that really jumps out at you. Your thoughts on that, Don?
I would say that if, the present circumstances, you know, what's going on here in America, you know, with all of this, probably, for lack of a better term, would have colored my vision. In other words, I began to wonder, first of all, what is it about what's going on today that is, that can be fixed? And what is it about today that is just the way things are?
Right.
And so with that concern in my mind, you know, then I go to the Scripture and I say, oh, Yeah, I know the human heart is dark. You know, I know we have a propensity toward, you know, evil and pride and greed. Mm-hmm. Those are all, but those terms are, those are so broad, mm-hmm. you know. And so when I began to just look at that and say how Isaiah is dealing with the problems in that society, it's looking more than just personal character traits. Mm-hmm. It's looking at the Lord is concerned with them as a people group. What is it that is flawed in that society? And so I looked for some universals. I looked for some things that are going to be true, whether this circumstance is going on or not. I might not have developed it the way that I did without this. I may not have camped on it. I may have been happy enough with greed and pride and all of that because, you know, we all can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't write these passages down. Maybe I need to come back to them. But that issue of oppression and injustice and those types of issues, that's dealt with on more than one occasion.
Right, several places.
Not only with Israel, but other people groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading Isaiah as a younger man. I'm all interested in, you know, discipleship and walking with the Lord and spirituality. And I see these cultural things like oppression and whatever. And I'm thinking, that just doesn't belong there. It doesn't seem to fit in with anything of that I consider authentic Christianity. Mm-hmm. It just seemed to be, you know, read over quickly and get on to the good stuff. But as I've gotten older and I guess have a little bit more historical perspective, I'm beginning to realize that, you know, that some of those things are the problem. We're the problem with Israel. Of course, Israel specifically because they were the people group that God had chosen to represent him and his character to the world. And so when they acted like the other nations, you know, they exhibited their humanity, you know, their humanness, then it was necessary for the Lord to call them on that in order to, so that they could continue to be, represent him to the world. We know about God's character. We know about how he feels about injustice and oppression and pride and greed and all that because we have this historical documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So Israel is a spokesperson for the Lord, but not in the way that maybe they could have been.
Right. I thought it was interesting that God was really concerned with injustice and oppression, especially where it concerns orphans and widows, you know, the fatherless and the widows. And then in the New Testament, we see that reiterated again as one of the functions of the church is to be a help to the orphans and the widows, that it was still an issue, even how many hundreds of years later. And I think that's one of those things that we can just say that that's part of the human condition, that we have these people groups, the fatherless and the widows, that will always need this
help. He did mention the third group, the poor, in the passages. You know, there were mm-hmm. orphans and widows and the poor and the needy.
Right.
So they're, you know, so it wasn't just those two groups, but, you know, they're part of that group.
Right. Right. Yeah, one kind of follows the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very true. Interesting. So is kind of leading into the discussion then this morning. So as a church, as the people of God today, you know, we hear a lot of things on both the left and the right politically that, you know, what we ought to be doing. And they're both using, Christians within both those groups are using scripture to kind of make their case as to what we ought to be doing. You know, but looking at the scripture itself, what should we be doing as the church to help with this idea of injustice and oppression? Are there any things that we can be doing as the people of God?
Well, I think one thing is that, you know, is teaching. The perspective on who we are as people. In other words, I think arming people with reality. In other words, people are duped on both sides because they don't know much about what the Bible has to say about, you know, mankind and society.
Much of anything, really.
You know, they may be looking in the scripture for a to-do thing or something that may assist them in their agenda, but there's a there's a way of looking at the world, the way of looking at ourselves, and being armed with that is, I think, the best thing that we can do for people. Mm-hmm. That's what it talks about teaching, you know. Now, just giving Bible lessons to make us feel good, but I think, you know, doing what we've been doing in Isaiah, mm-hmm. where we're kind of like, we're having aha moments in the sense like, I know myself better. You know, I know history, the current situation better. So I think the one thing that we can do is that we may err if we're going to the scripture to say, okay, you know, what are the activities that we need to engage in? In that sense, I mean, I need some help on that, but mm-hmm. It's like when you're dealing with orphans, for instance. So I know some church groups then get heavy into encouraging their church family to foster parent mm-hmm. or to adopt, and as a way in which to, you know, do something positive. Mm-hmm. Another way, I think, is, again, I think that helpful. But the other thing is to give opportunities for people, the minorities, to sit under good teaching as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think strong churches that are strong in biblical truth is the answer. Because, you know, as we know, the Republicans and the Democrats, they have a base, and they are, you know, unless you are informed, unless you have, I think, the biblical perspective, it's easy to be led along,
yeah.
whichever group you're into.
Exactly.
And to be honest with you, both groups have this in common. Both the bases have this in common. They're all interested in the dollar benefit that it is to them. Many in the Republican Party, because, you know, they're the ones that are working and things, that they're not wanting their money taken away from them and taxes. You know, they're not wanting, they're wanting to have the say-so on what their money does.
Right.
And so taking their money away from them by taxing them for whatever reason is the reason why many on that side are interested in politics. Mm-hmm. On the other side, you have the Democratic base. There are many of those that are the disenfranchised, the oppressed, or at least they feel that they are, the ones that are not the people of privilege. That's how they feel. Mm-hmm. And so they feel that in order for them to get dollars, they're going to have a helping hand. Some folks believe that this helping hand is a lift up. You know, they're so far behind, you know, that unless they get some financial help, they're always going to be the downtrodden. Mm-hmm. Others just feel that I don't really feel that I want to work or need to work. And so, or I can't make enough with minimum wage, et cetera. So I think on both sides, people are greedy.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. It's greed that drives our politics.
Right.
I don't know what else I should say because I end up on the wrong side.
Right. Somebody's going to take offense at whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think directing people back to the scripture and teaching the scripture and trying to understand God's heart and God's mind on these subjects and what he would have us to do ideally is where we need to direct people and get people going that direction. Unfortunately, you know, churches too they get caught up in all of
it. They're shaded.
Yeah, they get caught up in all this nonsense. And
see, my responsibility are the people that are part of this flock. Mm-hmm. And so we may be, you know, where we are in our thinking, you know, where corrections need to be made may be different than another congregation.
That's true.
So it's my responsibility to, I think, challenge and push, you know, for people to think through from our aired perspectives. So to another group, you know, if I was pastor of those sheep, they may be in a community in which I would need to address some problems and some wrong ways of thinking in order to help them see things you know, from a biblical perspective. So that's why we have pastors. That's why you have people that are giving their lives over to thinking about the scripture, studying the scripture, and growing in the scripture. And I am blessed to be an old man now. I'll be 64 years old, because some of the allurements for a younger pastor is success, you know, building a congregation. You know, you're trying to legitimize your existence.
Right.
You're
doing a following.
In other words, you don't realize it, but there's just a lot of stuff going on that a lot of hoops that either you feel like you need to jump through, or others feel like you need to jump through. Well, I'm at the point in my life where, I don't feel very many of those pressures anymore. So my mind and my heart's been freed up actually in the last couple of years to read the scripture and learn from the scriptures in ways that I limited myself in the past. So having an opportunity to speak it, you know, mm-hmm. whether anybody listens or not, you know, is a joy to me. I feel like I'm seeing things in a better light than I could have as a younger man. And so maybe I have something to say to us, you know, to our group, that that a few years ago I would not have had the light to do so.
Right.
I would have the willingness, but there's just something about moving through different phases of life, having been through different phases of life, and being constantly under the light of Scripture that helps to mature you in the way you think and the way you see things. I'm just grateful. You know, some of the trips like to Ethiopia and Philippines and the extra learning and things, all that's been helpful. These podcasts have been great for me. Not for me personally being part of them, but for, you know, your children, you know, mm-hmm. others that are part of it, to hear what they're thinking and how they're speaking. Because I'm out with others too. And I feel that maybe some of the way that they think about things is because they've been a part of Bible Fellowship Church, you know, for these years. So I think they've got an edge maybe. Mm-hmm. No, again, Israel had an edge on the rest of the world. You saw what they did with it.
Right.
So we still have a responsibility.
Sure.
To live up and to pursue, you know, to chase down, you know, wisdom and learning.
I thought the passage, looking specifically at what God's complaint was, didn't deal specifically with their nature or their character, because there's still sinful humans with issues. I mean, which we all are. But he nailed things that were stuff that they were doing. You know, they were doing evil. They were doing injustice. They were oppressing. They were, you know, these are all outward manifestations maybe of a wicked heart, but God wasn't necessarily asking them to do anything necessarily about that, but to stop the doing, to get back in line with what he wanted. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And in light of what you just said, as far as, you know, the teaching and whatnot, I think that's one of the things that people can be doing, is they can be putting themselves under good biblical teaching. And because it's pretty hard to know what to do in your life, or what path to take, or how to respond to a situation, or what is the godly response in a situation, if you're not in the Word, if you're not understanding what God's heart is behind something. I think it makes it really difficult to give the right response. And unfortunately, I think we see that a lot in our society, a lot of people calling themselves Christians, but acting in a very unchristian manner, mm-hmm. because they don't really know the Word. They don't know what God's thought is.
Every way of man is right in his own eyes. We all feel justified.
Yes, for sure. All right. Well, is there anything else we wanted to touch on this morning? I think it was some good stuff, real good stuff this morning. Don, would you close us out in prayer?
Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship together around your word, around your thoughts, trying to understand better how you feel about the way that we live, about the way that our country is going today. We look around, Lord, with eyes that that see things in a way that would cause discouragement and despair if we didn't know the scripture. But we look, Lord, with eyes that see the need that we have for a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, an ongoing relationship, not just to engage him initially and call ourselves saved, but to be people that sense our need to know more and to know better and to be willing to learn and to be taught. But we're also, Lord, appreciative of the promise that you have made us in your scripture that our salvation is not yet finalized, that there's still the second coming of Christ, and that this world will open up in a way that it's never done before. It's because we'll have in a place of leadership, a place of authority, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I thank you for Bible Fellowship Church. I thank you for Andrew and Scott, the other leadership that we have here, and the folks that come out, not out of obligation, but out of genuine trust in the Lord and a desire to hear his word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
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 I hope you enjoyed our discussion today and found it thought-provoking. The Upper Room is a Bible Fellowship Church production. The opinions discussed by our guests are just opinions and random thoughts at the time of recording and do not necessarily reflect the doctrine or stated beliefs of Bible Fellowship Church.